congregation that is with us. All of you are dear to me. The other night, as we continued to watch the terrible devastation that leveled your area and came right on up across the state line to us, we're today still trying to recover for it. Doesn't seem like we're making very much progress, but hopefully that the decision that we have had to make in the last month or so and the decisions that we've got to make to come will be addressed before the Lord. I appreciate my good friend, Brother Huckabee, who we've preached together many times, and the wonderful prayer that he's prayed. Brother Conley, whose invitation is mine to enjoy today, and all of you, my friends, I ask you to pray for me for just a little while tonight, and hopefully God's grace will be strong in our midst. Tonight I want to call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. And it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I realize that there is much more in those verses that I've read to you than I'll be able to get to. And many, many avenues of thought can be projected from these verses. But I want to level my thoughts for just a little while tonight on the 14th verse. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Now, of course, if you go back and began to read at the beginning of this chapter, Timothy, Paul calls him my son, and he admonishes him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something at the outset. That's not only good advice for Timothy, but it's good advice for us. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, when you read these particular verses, you find out how the gospel has been brought down to us today in the New Testament church. You find out that what Timothy knew, he received from Paul, and the things that thou hast heard of me, says Paul, among many witnesses, you commit that to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And Paul again instructs him and teaches him that I endure all things for the elect's sake. And yet if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. I'm thankful today that so many times when as faithful as we may have been, as many times as we may have grace the doors of our churches, there are times, sad to say, that we stand in unbelief. The disciples were guilty of such conduct, and I freely confess to you, I'm afraid that I stand in their company today. I'll borrow an expression from someone, and I don't know who's the originator of it, but I've said this before, and I say it again, to know the will of God is my greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is my greatest achievement. And I think this will apply here in this particular passage of Scripture. And yet, even though as faithful as these brethren were, mistake prone as they were, the Bible teaches us that Paul taught Timothy, of these things, put them in remembrance. You know, the word remember or remembrance is used approximately 400 times in 66 books of the Bible. Remember, remember, remember. Of these things, put them in remembrance. Again and again and again, Paul reminds them, as well as others, how we should remember. And in that today, I stand confident that we need that admonition again and again and again. I appreciate my friend, Brother Huckabee, whose thoughtfulness of prayer was a reminder of what we are, who we are, how dependent we are. And we have to be reminded of that day after day, time after time, experience after experience. And that's been the experience of God's children all down through the ages. I call your attention to Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 9. Remember the former things of old, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. So Isaiah reminds the nation there to remember the former things of old. He says, you remember that. You need to be reminded of that time after time after time. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we'll begin with verse 7. The writer says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. So the point I'm making is, in a feeble way tonight, is that we need to be reminded or put in remembrance of these things time after time after time. The great fundamentals of the faith need to be preached over and over again. It's a story that never grows old. I love the old song that so many times we sing, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory. So it's an old, old story, but yet it's ever a new story. It's a story that projects the Son of God as the only Savior of sinners. It's the story, the love story between God and His people. It is that wonderful message that gives us strength in time of weakness, and oftentimes brings us to humbleness in time of our pride. We need to be reminded of these things time after time, because we read about these experiences that the children of God have gone through down through the ages of time, and we see again and again and again how we need to see them as examples for us today. And that's the reason the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18, I believe, behold Israel after the flesh. That is to look at the nation from a fleshly standpoint and see what they went through. And then we'll be reminded of God's children, spiritual Israel, here in time, of the things that we go through as children of God, as pilgrims and strangers in the earth. We see them in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And again, I refer to my friend's prayer. The world was not worthy of those who even made mistakes and serious mistakes in their day. But I want you to understand today, my friends, that you and I, as people of God here in this time, I'm not talking about the sweet by and by. I'm talking about right now, today, when we live in this world that is no friend of grace. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14 says, of these things, put them in remembrance. Remember them. Timothy, put these whom have been called and qualified, we need to be reminded about these things time and time again. It's not just those that sit in the pew, but it's us who stand behind the book board from time to time and try in our many and varied ways to encourage God's people and glorify the Son of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we read here that Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his divine power that hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In all of these things we are given exceeding great and precious promises. But Peter begins to enlighten us about this, and we can call this Peter's farewell message. But he says and understands that he doesn't have very long left. He understands that his days are very short. But listen to what he says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. Oh, my friends, listen. Tonight, we may know these things, and we do know them, and to those that are on this broadcast tonight, in that area of the country and wherever you are, I love you better than life itself. The last 52 years, you've been so gracious to me. But I want you to understand today that I will not be negligent the older I get and the more I see the foundations being destroyed around us. I want to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and I know that you do, and though you be established in this present truth. Believe me tonight that you and I need to be established in this present truth. The truth is always a present factor in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is always that which brings us comfort, it brings us rebuke, and we are taught even in the Old Testament to buy the truth and sell it not. But oh, what a wonderful question it is when some of the leaders in the day of Jesus ask the question even, what is truth? Well, I want to tell you there were many that faded to the background when Jesus began to preach that hard doctrine that some called it. And some of them said these are hard sayings, and no doubt they were. But I want you to understand also that the truth today that is needed so much among our churches, I'm not talking about the Arminian, I'm talking about our churches, that doctrinal principle that the church stands on. We need to be, though we be established in this present truth, and though we know them, we need, and it is vital, that we are put in remembrance of these things. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet or necessary. I think it necessary as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Do you see what he's saying? As long as I'm in this body, there's something that is needful for me to do. There is something that is needful for me to not only exhort you in, but to establish you in. And he says, it is needful as long as I am in this tabernacle to put you in remembrance and to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Stirring up that which is in you, stirring up that which is the truth, it needs to be stirred. It needs to be exercised. And I'll tell you what the apostles did when they preached. The Bible tells me that there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel. Do you know how God's church is ordained to be built and sustained? It's not by ball games. It's not by entertainment sessions. It is by the preaching of the gospel that we need to be stirred to a greater service to. I'm sorry tonight, but so many things of the world tend to creep in to our services, so many things that we set our affections on. It is necessary, my friends, that we give attention to those things which have always been taught and our churches have flourished on generation after generation after generation. And when the Bible says here, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. This wasn't a surprise to the Apostle Peter. And not only that, he didn't stop there. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. What a statement. I wish I'd have said that. I will endeavor that ye may be able, even after I'm gone, after I've shed this tabernacle of clay, these things need to be reminded of us, these things need to be always in our remembrance. Thank God for you men that are out there tonight that remind us from time to time. Thank God for you men who are there who stand in the gap. Thank God for you men who are able to do those things which are needful to do. I thank God for you. And the older I get, the more I appreciate those older men that I came up under. All of them's dead and gone now. I wished that I could be the faithful soldiers that they were, because they reminded me time after time. And I'm sad to say that I didn't take some good advice that I was given. But nevertheless, what we can do is not putting our hand to the plow and looking back, but we can be put in remembrance and press forward as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Peter says in verse 16, the reason for this is we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've not followed some fable that is designed to draw you away. Sad to say, there are many that go under the name of religion today that draw away God's children after those things that look attractive, those things that look so good. I'll tell you today, that may keep the world greased and running, and it does, but to the church of God, it will. The gospel and the preaching of the gospel that gives glory to him who died, rose, and revived, that he might be God of the dead and of the living, that same Jesus who was lifted up. In Hebrews chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1, Paul made this statement. Notice the terminology. For God, who at sundry times and divers manners, that is at different times and different ways, spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the world, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself had purged our sins, sat down. By himself, you see. When he by himself had purged or cleansed us. Today, my friends, the elect family of God stands cleansed and washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And I'll tell you, that's true if the gospel is never preached. Amen? That's true if the gospel is never preached. The soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb is that one sacrifice that God Almighty accepted. But the preaching of the gospel testifies to that fact. That's the reason the gospel is called a testimony. It is called the law of the Lord. There are many different names that the gospel is given, but I affirm to you today that the preaching of the gospel to the child of God who is weary and cast down, the preaching of the gospel to the child of God who needs something besides what this world can offer will cheer you in the darkest days. It will give you hope when the doctor says there is no hope. It will do something for you God that is above and beyond that which we could ask for. And Peter says, this is not a cunningly devised fable that we've followed after. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You know, it's one thing to be a witness, but it's quite another thing to be an eyewitness. I want you to think about that. It's one thing to be a witness in a court of law, but I'll tell you, an eyewitness carries the weight. An eyewitness. He says, this is not what somebody saw. You know, we've got a community right here. It doesn't take but about two women and three men to get news all over the community. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It really does. It really does. And I can't see all of you, but I know you know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you, I left you sisters in the minority in that case. Amen. Because men are just as guilty. But what I am saying is that the Bible says that this is not just some cunningly devised fable, but this is something that we have an eyewitness account to. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven, we heard. You see what he talks about here? This wasn't some statement that somebody said. He said, we are eyewitness of his majesty. Not only that, we heard the voice that came from heaven. We heard it with our own ears. Our hands touched and handled the word of life. And this voice from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But I want to tell you something, as good as that was, and I wished I could have had that experience, Peter says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. We've got something better than that today, whether you believe it or not. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. You see, the apostle here tells us to take heed. Take heed. How do we do that? By being stirred. How do we do that? By being reminded. How do we do that? By looking back on the experiences of God's children. Whatever experience you've had today, I assure you somebody has already had it. Whatever it is, somebody's already been there. Somebody's already been through the trial. Somebody's always been through the affliction. Somebody's been through the happiness. Somebody's been through the miracle. And I'll not belabor that point, but all I'm saying to you is that as great an experience as that was with Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, we have today a more sure word of prophecy that lays before you now. Many of you are looking at it. We have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do you do well that you take heed to it. It's good for you. It's good. Now there's some of it a hard pill to swallow. Don't you know when Jesus was going back to heaven just before he went, he said in John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, don't you know that is a hard pill for them to swallow? He told them that just a little while and I'm going to be gone. I'm going to leave you. Of course, they lost sight of his promise. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But you see, he told him, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believed in God. Believe also in me. Now, they understood that God had a definite relationship to Israel. They were all Orthodox Jews. They understood what they'd been told by the fathers time and time and time again. They understood that. But now, Jesus says to them, why, you know what the fathers have said. You believe in God. God stands in a definite relationship to you. Now he says this, you believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. Now you've got to hold on to this. You've got to be reminded of what I've told you back through the last 3.5 years. They had to be reminded, 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 and some of them never put the pieces of the puzzle together. But you know what? Even when you came down a little bit further and you read those first 10 verses, and you began to tell them, one of them said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It'll give us satisfaction if you'll just show us the Father. That's all we need at this time. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus said to Philip, he said, Philip, have I so long been with you? And you say, show me the Father. You saw me do these miracles. Remember that? You saw me feed 5,000. Remember that? You saw me still a storm. Remember that? Remember, remember, remember. Have I so long been with you? And you say, show me the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What a great experience it must have been for him to say, let not your heart be troubled. They ought to have been comforting him, and yet now he's having to comfort them. You see, they lost sight of some things when he came up to the end. When Jesus washed their feet in that upper room, Peter said, well, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. He said, what I do now, you don't understand. But you'll know hereafter there were some things that could not be revealed to the fullest extent until Jesus was raised from the dead. And I'll tell you today, you and I have the fullness of that word here that lays before me. You and I have a great opportunity to hear the gospel preached from time to time when the Lord blesses. You and I need to be stirred to a greater service to God. You and I, you and I. One time many years ago, and I'll close with this thought, and some of you may have heard me say it before. There's a church used to be over across the river in Jackson County, a place named Doran's Cove. Not there anymore, the cemetery is there. But Doran's Cove Church has ceased to exist. And there is not a church there among our people, but there was a lady that had been acquainted with our people, and her family was over the years, and she had a child to die. And for some reason or another, they called me, and I didn't know them, and still don't know them. But I know the experience that I had. And that day, me and the coroner and several of those that were in the community, that they gathered on a cold November day to bury a child in some red clay in the valley at the foot of the mountain. And that day, I tried to sing a song. It wasn't very good. And I preached the best I could. And the lady didn't have any money to give me. She said, I can't do that. And I said, well, that's fine. I'll be glad to help you in the way I can. But a long time after that, for some reason, I got a note through the mail with a money order in it for $50 and a note that said, I remember what you said that day. Don't ever change it. And I sent her back one that says, I won't. Don't worry. And I want to tell you today, we don't need to change it. We have no reason to change it. Because as good as those experiences were, as great as an experience as Peter, James, and John had, you and I today have something better. It's called a more sure word of prophecy. And here's what it says. You do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. I hope tonight that what I've said will cause you to remember a lot of things. There's some things I wish I could forget that I remember that I don't want to remember. And there's some things that I want to remember that I forget. You and I have all had that experience. But tonight, the older I get, and the further I go down life's journey, and I know I've lived a lot longer than I've got left, but I'll tell you the gospel is sweeter to me today than it's ever been. It stirs me when I hear it, and I want to remember it again and again and again. And when I come to hear Brother Sonny preach and Brother Owen and the brethren from California that have been so good to me over the years. I want to tell you, I don't want to hear a lecture. I don't want to hear something about you or me or whatever, some kind of intellectual subject that you may have. I don't think much of Greek or Hebrew anymore. I used to try to Greekify and Hebrewize everything, and I found out that that's all it was to everybody else, just Greek and Hebrew. But I want you to understand today that the simple gospel is what our churches have flourished on generation after generation, because it's simple enough to have Peter say, even after I'm gone, I want you to have these things always in remembrance. Brother James, thank you for your invitation tonight. Thank you for letting me be here. And thank all of you who I love better than life itself. May God bless you, is my prayer.